Some years ago, sports enthusiasts around the world had their eyes on a young pole vaulter from Texas named Billy Olson. At the age of 19, he had already set the world indoor record. It was predicted that he would easily bring home the gold medal in the 1980 Olympics. In 1979, Olson suffered an injury at the tryouts and he didn't even make the team. Down but not defeated, he began looking instead to 1984. But a few months later, he took a bad fall and he broke his wrist. Doctors said he would probably never vault again. Still, Billy didn't give up. In 1984, he was jumping high, but not well enough to make the team. So once again, he set his sights on the next time around. In 1986, he broke the world record four times. 1988 was surely going to be Billy Olson's year. This time, he qualified, but to everyone's surprise, he didn't jump well. He never won a medal. Billy may have never reached his goal, but in my mind, he'll always be a winner, simply because he had the guts and the heart to stay with it, no matter how many obstacles blocked his path. You see, striving for a goal is a worthy end in itself. By pursuing a dream, we push ourselves to do better and to be better. And even if we never realize that dream, we have the satisfaction of knowing that we gave it our best shot. And that beats sitting on the sidelines by a country mile.
There's more Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson at myfamilytalk.com.
Welcome to Family Talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I am James Dobson, and today we're going to hear the second part of a message given by Dr. Ronnie Floyd. It was the presidential address given to the Southern Baptist Convention several months ago. It was actually June of this year. And Dr. Floyd has been a pastor for 29 years at Cross Church in Springdale, Arkansas. He's a good friend of mine, and he is also a national and international speaker. If you didn't hear the first half of this broadcast, which we aired yesterday on Family Talk, I urge you to download it and listen. This is a powerful message for today. And Dr. Floyd clearly identifies some of the toughest issues facing our culture and the church. But the response isn't to back down or give up, throw our hands in the air and quit. In the face of all these problems, he calls us to be prayer warriors and leaders. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless if we ignore sin. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." And today on Family Talk, Dr. Ronnie Floyd tells us that, again, now's the time to speak and act for the future of this great nation and around the world. Let's hear the second half of Dr. Ronnie Floyd's message today.
I want to remind you, and I want to state clearly to our churches, clearly to our pastors and church leaders, I want to state to all evangelicals today and to all believers globally, to everyone here in America and to the entire world, these things. Southern Baptist, we stand believing that the Bible is God's infallible, inerrant, authoritative, and final word in all things. That's who we are, and that's what we believe. In our churches, we need to keep His word, and we need to hold fast to His name. Amen? And I want to say to all evangelicals today, you can count on Southern Baptist. We will contend for the faith that was delivered to the saints once and for all. Southern Baptist, we stand believing today that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, only coming through repentance from sin and faith in Christ alone. While much of the world declares there are many paths to God, I declare today there is only one path to God, Jesus Christ alone. And when I say that knowing that we are all sinners and only Jesus can forgive sin. Southern Baptist, we stand believing that we are called to reach the world for Christ, making disciples of all the nations. When we began 170 years ago, in 1845, we united around this common cause, and it will be the only thing that will keep Southern Baptists together, the propagation of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And Southern Baptists, we stand believing today that our greatest need in America is to see the next great spiritual awakening. It was last October in New York City when President Barack Obama stated, "There's a sense, possibly, that the world is spinning so fast and nobody is able to control it." There is a growing desperation and a mission from across America that we cannot fix ourselves. Our greatest hope for America is to see the church revived and the country experience a genuine spiritual awakening that will result in an outbreak of millions of people coming to faith and trust in Christ and in Christ alone. I'm telling you today, and you make it known and you let the world hear it, we need a Jesus revolution in the United States of America. It is time for us, as Southern Baptists, to lead by coming together in clear agreement, visible union, and extraordinary prayer for the next great awakening and to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Tonight, our entire evening session will be dedicated to this purpose, of thousands of us coming in this room praying together for the next great awakening and for the world to be reached for Christ. Please be on time. Stay with us all the way to the end on this historic night. I want to tell you, it is not a normal session and will not be treated like a normal session. Pre-worship will begin at 6:30, but our formal worship beginning time is 6:45. Now, I state the following today to remind us of something, that we believe that God has created all people for the glory of God and in His image. So I want to say this to America today. America, we stand believing that humanity's bearing of God's image is not contingent upon one's skin color. And we also believe today that all racism and injustice must end, and we need to let grace begin uniting our hearts in the bond of peace. We need to learn to love one another even as Christ loved us. And since all people are made in God's image and created for His glory, our hearts break because of what I'm about to state to you. America, we stand believing that abortion is a glaring desecration of the unborn child's purpose and value. We must be vigilant in this fight for the unborn child. All human life and all human dignity from the womb to the tomb. Any decline in America's commitment to the unborn child would lead toward an accelerating desecration of human life, resulting in more abuse, more violence, and more chaotic disruption. God has created all of us to bring Him glory. And when we devalue human life in any way from the womb to the tomb, we're robbing God of His intended glory for every person in the world. Regardless of what someone has done or is involved in today, our churches must rise up where the people are, from the abortion issue to the same-sex issue and many others, extending the love of Jesus Christ, ministering to them and sharing the power of God's healing and forgiveness. And with this desire, my heart breaks to even have to state the following thing. And before I do, I want to be more than clear. We love all people. And even if they are struggling with same-sex attraction or adultery or anything else, we want to help them. We are all sinners, and we are in need of the Lord's help and the Lord's grace. And even though this is my heart, I must also lift up what God says in His word today. Therefore, I humbly declare this in love to all people, to the leaders of our nation, to the United States Supreme Court, and to all of America and the world. America, we stand believing that marriage is the uniting of one man and one woman and covenant commitment for a lifetime. That's what we are. Now, we have believed this and do believe this, and I believe we'll continue to believe this as a convention of churches. Yes. We stand for biblical and traditional marriage. As Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy said, this definition of traditional marriage has been with us for a millennia, and it's very difficult for the court to say, oh, well, we know better. Well, I want to let everyone know today, we cannot agree more with those words. We do not need to redefine what God Himself has defined already. And I want to say to every pastor today in the United States who believes the Word of God, this is a Bonhoeffer moment for every pastor in the United States. While some evangelicals may be bowing down to the deception of the inclusiveness of same-sex marriage, our marriage in their churches, we will not bow down, nor will we be silent. We believe the Scripture is authoritative in all things, and to say it permits such activity is a denial of its authenticity, its infallibility, and its authority regarding marriage and everything else. Therefore, we will hold up and we will lift up God's authoritative truth on marriage. This afternoon, you will be asked to approve a resolution that affirms what we believe about marriage and calls us to stand for truth, but it also reminds us to love our neighbors and extend respect to all people, even those who disagree with us. And while we affirm our love for all people, including those struggling with same-sex attraction, we cannot and will not affirm any behavior that deviates from God's design for marriage. Our first commitment is to God and His Word, nothing else and no one else. And I want to remind everyone today humbly, the Supreme Court of the United States is not the final authority, nor is the culture itself. But the Bible is God's final authority about marriage, and on this book we stand. And as for me, and I also believe for thousands of pastors in this nation, but you're going to have to speak for yourself. But as for me, I declare to everyone today, as a minister of the gospel, I will not officiate over any same-sex unions or same-sex marriage ceremonies. I completely refuse. In America, we also stand believing that the freedom of religion for all people promotes the common good of our nation and the world. Freedom of religion belongs to our God-given human conscience, not to the Supreme Court, not the Congress, not any president, or the leaders of the world, nor business, nor any radical group, or anyone else that tries to restrain it. Now is the time to lead, believing and standing. But now is also the time to lead. Listen to this, living and going. In the midst of the fire of opposition, the church at Philadelphia held fast to His word and did not deny Jesus' name. And because of this, Jesus told them, look, I have placed before you an open door that no one is able to close. God was opening doors for them, so they could take the gospel to their world from Philadelphia. And while their city was a gateway to the mountains, it also became a gateway to taking the gospel to their world. As they believed and as they lived, we need to live out and we need to believe in the gospel, and we need to ensure it goes to the ends of the earth, to every person of every ethnicity and people group in the world. It is not enough for us to simply believe and stand. but we must also live and go. And I want to remind everyone today, living must follow believing, and going must follow standing. We need to emulate the church at Philadelphia. They not only understood the need to believe and stand, but to live and go. We need to go through the open doors, and we need to advance the gospel. And even though the culture is darkening and religious liberty is eroding in our nation, God is opening up doors for each one of our churches. And we need to find a way to penetrate the lostness in North America and across the globe. It is urgent that we penetrate lostness. When you look at the churches of the Southern Baptist Convention and our history, it was the reported year of 1972 when we experienced our largest number of baptisms, 445,725 baptisms. In that same year, listen to this, we saw 137,667 12 to 17-year-olds baptized, almost double what we reach today. In fact, I was one of those teenagers baptized and counted in that number. Now, why was that our highest year of baptisms? Historically, it is referred to as the Jesus movement. God was at work in and through the teenagers, the college students, the young adults, and beyond all across America. And I declare to you today, this is our greatest hope today. Yes, we need to pray for a third great spiritual awakening in America. A mighty move of God can wake up the fearful preacher, the dead church, the lifeless state convention, and even the complex Southern Baptist Convention. A move of God can turn America's heart back to God. Southern Baptist, we need to lead the way. We need to turn our own hearts back to God. When the summary report of the annual church profile from our churches was released last week, I was so burdened when I saw that our average attendance, our baptisms, and giving declined in 2014. Our continual slow grade decline in some areas is highly concerning to me. It is time for us as a convention to get honest about ourselves, about where we are spiritually and practically. I do rejoice that we are gaining in the number of our churches, but reports show that our now 51,094 churches and congregations documented their evangelism so low in the 2013 and 2014 associational year that it took us back to the level of our baptisms that existed 67 years ago in the year of 1947, when we only had 144 million people in America, and today we have 321 million people in America. We are adrift on denial if we do not recognize the dire need of where our churches are evangelistically. Most of our churches may have their doctrine right, but we are in an intensive care unit on a spiritual respirator regarding the lack of evangelism. We may have a reputation for being alive, but we are dead if our evangelism is dead. We need a mighty move of God now. Yes, we need a third great awakening in America now. We need to call out to God now in repentance. And we need to seek His supernatural intervention now. And simultaneously, we need to take urgent action now. The doors are wide open and we must go. Pastors, I want to challenge you today. We need to return to the prioritizing of evangelism in the church and having an aggressive strategy to reach our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And whatever it takes, we must risk it all to penetrate the lostness of our communities. It has to begin with those of us here today. Our churches need to rise up and pray like never before, give like never before, believe like never before, stand like never before, live like never before, and go like never before. The doors are wide open now, and we must go church by church, but also go together. We need each other. We are family. And to our Southern Baptists who are not with us this week, it is time to come home. Why? Because there are also churches right now in America that are ready to align with us doctrinally, missionally, missiologically, and cooperatively, that are considering joining us in advancing the gospel. We need them. They need us. We need you in advancing the gospel to the ends of the earth. Over this past year of travel across the nation and the world, I've spent time with established pastors and church planters from Montana to Texas and from California to New York and even beyond. I have spent time with state conventions and leaders from Alaska to Louisiana and way many, many more. And I have visited the campuses of our outstanding seminaries that are equipping 18,000 future pastors, missionaries, and scholars. And I met with missionaries from all across the world, hearing their stories, praying with them, and encouraging them. I saw the look of their resolve on their faces to finish the task, from those living and operating and ministering in the Middle East all the way to those in Cuba. I saw their burden so great they would weep, and many of them are serving in countries where they would lose their lives if they were ever discovered sharing the gospel. Southern Baptist, this is not some fairy tale. The need is great. The hour is late. And we must advance the gospel together to every ethnicity in the world. Whatever the cost, whatever the risk, this worldwide mission must be our priority. I appeal to you that if anything in our churches, anything in our Southern Baptist entities, anything in our Southern Baptist state conventions, and anything in our Southern Baptist associations that is not accelerating the Great Commission locally, nationally, and internationally, we need to rid ourselves of it right now. The urgency is upon us. The lostness has never been greater in our dangerous and hopeless world. Everyone, and I mean everyone, needs to rise up and lead. Now is the time to lead. May the world never have to ask again, where are the leaders? May our nation never have to ask again, where are the leaders? May the evangelical community never have to ask again, where are the leaders? May our own churches and our own convention never have to ask again, where are the leaders? Southern Baptists, I declare to you today that we now face another whether we live or die moment in our history. In this critical hour, will we lead? Now is the time to lead. Let's lead, holding on to the Word of God and not denying Jesus's name. Let's hold leading with His Word in one hand and the love of God in the other hand. Take heart, Southern Baptists. Be encouraged. Jesus is saying to us today, look, I have placed an open door before you that no one is able to close. Now is the time to lead.
We've been listening to the conclusion of Ronnie Floyd's address to the 2015 Southern Baptist Convention. If you missed any part of this broadcast or you just want to hear it again, I encourage you to download it from our website at drjamesdobson.org. You will be challenged and encouraged and inspired in your fight for the soul of our nation. You know, revival starts at home, and strong marriages are important for the unity and stability of the home. So if you or someone you know is struggling in that area, don't give up. We would love to stand with you in prayer for your marriage and family. Give us a call at 877-732-6825. Let me also tell you about an exclusive resource that I know can help. Dr. Dobson's book, Love Must Be Tough, has proven guidance to rekindle romance and renew relationships. We'd love to send you a copy as a thank you for every donation of $20 or more in the month of October. These strategies work, and I highly recommend this book for any marriage that needs a boost. You can give us a call at 877-732-6825 or by clicking the tab at drjamesdobson.org. And be sure to join us next time when we interview a former homicide cold case detective who used his investigative skills to explore the claims of the gospel. You don't want to miss his exciting conclusions on the next Family Talk. This is Dr. Meg Meeker saying God bless. Thank you for listening today, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.